Matt's so funny. He's convinced no one in the world eats candy canes. He thinks I'm a psycho because I eat candy canes. Likes candy canes. I'm like, Matt, I think everyone likes candy canes except for you.
I eat candy canes when I feel desperate for something, to be honest. But if it's a fruity candy cane, I'll eat those ones, like the rainbow fruity ones. Yeah. Mm-hmm, those are good. So this one's not really a candy cane. It's a candy cane imposter.
Imposter syndrome candy cane.
Hi, welcome to Yoga in the Dark.
Hey, Megs, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Holly?
I'm doing pretty okay. Yeah. Now I'm, like, really nervous all of a sudden. That was funny.
You know why? It's because we're basically novices again because it's been so long since we've recorded a podcast.
I will let you know exactly how much, and it has been almost 4 months. And not like I double-checked right before we started recording.
So we possibly owe an apology because
we're really sorry.
We were going to release, I think, once a month, and then we very much dropped the ball.
Yes.
So... sorry about that.
We're real sorry, but COVID.
That's
really the vid, as Kevin Hart called it.
Vid.
He keeps calling it the vid.
Do you like the vid more or the Rona?
I like the Rona. It makes me think of My Sharona, the song.
No, I don't know.
What?
No.
It's by the Violent Femmes. Are you serious?
You need to play it for me now.
Dun, 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 dun. My Sharona. I don't know all the words.
Is it illegal to play here on the podcast?
I think so.
Okay, well, you guys are just going to have to go look it up then.
Sorry.
Again, yeah.
Novices.
Yeah, you know. So, you know, we went back to work. When Holly and I started recording this podcast, we were obviously on shutdown because everyone was. And now we're both working. I have a toddler. Holly's in grad school.
Yep, that happened.
Yeah.
Since August.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so that's why.
We've been a tad busy.
Right, productive. You're busy producing a healthy human being, and I am producing papers on defunding the police.
I'm also 9 weeks pregnant.
You're gonna announce it? Oh my god!
So I'm a little sick and tired.
Now I'm telling everyone. I've been holding it in.
It's out. It's out. Yeah, so I've been, you know, just trying not to vomit all day and trying to keep my eyes open when I'm driving because I'm so tired.
Yeah, please do that. Need you alive.
So thanks for being patient with us, but we're back, baby.
Maybe we're going to start releasing quarterly. Watch, then it'll be once a year. Who fucking knows?
And then everyone's going to just forget about us and we're going to fall off the face of
like,
the earth.
Somebody someday will be like, to their girlfriend, they'll be like, whatever happened at like Yoga in the Dark podcast?
They're gonna be like, quiet. It was just a dream. It never even happened to
like,
you.
Like, I kind of remember it. Anyway.
Also, we're wearing face masks while we record now, so if it sounds a little more muffled than usual, that's why. Yeah. Because we're responsible people.
And I want to hold Megan's baby when this baby's born. And I want to still work and do the massage and teach yoga and... all the things, so. But most specifically, I want to hold your baby.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I can't wait.
Little baby nugget. Yep. So, if you're new to this podcast, welcome. And follow us on social media, which Holly will tell you now because I forget.
That's okay. So, either Instagram or Facebook, pretty much the same handle, at Yoga in the Dark. And if you want to email us, we love your stories, feedback, comments, anything really, which we've gotten such great responses in the past. So it's always exciting to hear from you all. It's yogainthedark@gmail.com.
And we will do another listeners episode soon where we read your stories or questions. So if you have anything you want to submit, go ahead and submit it. And hopefully we will get back to you within the next couple of years. I'm just kidding.
Probably more like 4 months, but no, that's a lie. I was telling Megan y'all that there was a person who reached out to me or us on our Facebook page and was asking what books we had referenced, or I think it was in Megan's segment. And it took me like a week, but I was able to find the books and then took pictures of them, sent them to them, and that was awesome. So it's cool to hear that people are finding us, even though we, you know, got to a place in our lives where it was really hard to even just make our schedules like line up, which is really what was happening. That and you got pregnant.
I got pregnant.
This is actually all your fault.
Just kidding.
No, I'm really excited. So I'm excited that we were able to make this happen, and it's Megan's turn to present.
Shit, it is? I don't have a topic. I'm just kidding.
You're fucking lying. For me, I was like, wait, are you gaslighting me? On recording? God damn it.
It's my turn. Okay. So, I think I've told you about this topic before, Holly, but I stumbled across a book called In the Flow by Alyssa Vitti. The flow is spelled F-L-O. And it talks a lot about your period.
Okay.
But even more elaborate than that, it talks about all the hormone phases. So
you have talked about this, and I wanted to know more, so I'm happy you're bringing it to the table.
It's a subject that women really need to be educated about. It's something that none of us were really taught, because no one really understands the female body. And so this biologist, she's a hormone expert, and she has done the research on women to help us figure out how to be in sync with our bodies. So
from like a biological and physiological like aspect, like what's going on in our bodies for, I'd say we say like, oh gosh, what am I trying to say? Sorry. I'm like, you're looking at me so confused. Well, because I want to be inclusive. And so I'm like, okay, so this is also like, I think in the past you've even said, and I want to interject this only because I think we have a responsibility and a dedication to make sure that we're inclusive, right? So I'm wondering how also this could be applied to for trans women, as well as maybe even non-binary or anybody, even just and also maybe even cis men or even trans men, like for all of us to be able to maybe look at those cycles that we have in our bodies.
Yeah,
just in general.
Totally.
So
yeah. This book specifically is tailored to women in the reproductive years, cis women in the reproductive years, or trans women who have a period, and I'm not sure how different their hormones are, if they're on treatment and stuff like that.
Yeah, I honestly am ignorant to that. I don't know if trans women bleed, do they?
I don't know either.
Sorry, please, someone educate us, or I will just go look it up, and when we record next, I will.
Yeah. So if this information doesn't pertain to you, then it'll pertain to you being more in flow with a cis woman in your life.
Sure.
Like,
that's awesome.
Like your girlfriend, your partner, your sister, your friends, whatever. It's definitely a topic that people need to be educated about, because we all know so much about the male body. So I think if you aren't a cis woman in your reproductive years, I mean, this could still be information that's valuable to you. But if it's not, then I'm sorry. And maybe you could tune in next time.
Sorry, not sorry. Just move on.
I am definitely in my feminism phase, so I have a lot of information.
You're like, you know what? Women bleed. Yeah. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, and I mean, also, I think we need to bring more awareness to periods and, you know, take the shame out of the blood. It's a natural happening, and it's something that we need to talk more about. It needs to be less taboo, I believe.
Agreed.
Which is exactly why I shared my pregnancy information today, because I think another thing that needs to be less taboo is women sharing first trimesters of pregnancy. I think that it's obviously your choice.
Yes.
When you want to share. But I think it's a little taboo to share before your 12 weeks, because there's a higher risk of miscarriage.
Right. Superstition, right? You want to make sure the pregnancy is established.
Yeah. And I just feel like that just forces women to go through miscarriages alone. And it forces women to not know when other women have them. So when they have one, it's really hard, and they don't know that it's so common. So I honestly, I'm comfortable telling someone I'm pregnant, and then if I lose, God forbid, lose the baby, saying I had a miscarriage, because that's something that needs to be normalized, just like menstruation. It's a natural thing that happens all the time. And women need to know it's not their fault. Women need to know that it's actually extremely common.
Yeah.
Also, first trimester sucks. So there's like this expectation for women to just go through it alone.
Yeah.
And just bottle it all up and not talk about it. And it's absolute bullshit because I want to tell you, like, yesterday was Thanksgiving and I threw up all day. I was absolutely miserable. And like, you know, that's kind of things that we don't need to go through by ourselves. I'm tired. I'm emotional. I feel so sick. And hopefully it's going to be over in 3 weeks. But that's not a burden, women, that we have to carry alone.
Well, you know what also makes me think of is like, what if you aren't telling anybody and you're like working and doing things and you're like moody AF.
Yeah. And like everybody's like behind your back going like, wow, Megan is really being a bachelor. And like, did you see her vomiting? Like, what the fuck? She must have the vid.
That's what goes through in my mind. That was a story I just told.
Totally. So people don't think that I am contagious with the Rona.
Yeah.
Or people don't think that I'm drunk at work. She's I need them to know.
She's just with child.
I'm with child. Plus, the second pregnancy, my belly has popped so early into it that, like, there's absolutely no hiding it. It's very apparent. Because I don't – I have, like, a little popped belly, but I don't have anything anywhere else. So can't even really hide it at this point.
Mm-mm.
So anyway, so I want to share first with you a quote from Elisa. Hang on, I think I'm saying her name wrong.
That's okay.
Hang on, let me
work it out.
Let me just double check.
While you do that, I'm gonna have a sip of my booch kombucha.
Yep, Holly and I are in sobriety today, so I'm drinking LaCroix and she's drinking kombucha.
I love that you say we're in sobriety,
because I feel like there's been so many episodes and we're like, let me just take a sip of my wine. It's like clink clink. So
you guys, we're at the end of 2020. We started this at the beginning of 2020 in March.
What I like is that we were such a shit show in the beginning that now we can only impress
we
people
from
here on out.
We can only go up.
So it is Elisa Viti. I just had a typo in my notes. So she says, boys are taught from a young age that their bodies are perfect tools to be utilized, while girls are taught that their bodies are never-ending projects to be managed. And it's somewhat true. She was talking about this experience she had in science class, which was like her favorite class because she's obviously a biologist. She's,
right.
She's always very been much into science. And so
yeah.
She was really excited to learn about sex ed. And when they got to that part of the lesson, they started talking about males and they were like, oh, they're perfect sperm powerhouses and they create all this sperm every day. And, you know, just talking about how amazing their bodies are. And then it got to women and it was like, women shed their uterine lining once a month and it's painful and they're moody. And she was like, oh, what the actual fuck? Like, this is what I have to look forward to. Like, they pretty much just set her up to look at her entire future as, like, something that's going to be painful and uncomfortable.
Right.
And that's it. It didn't talk about any of the amazing, miraculous things that women's bodies do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how potent and powerful period blood is. Like, how amazing it is that we are basically a portal into the universe or heaven or whatever you want to call it. We make life. We're the closest thing there is to God or goddess or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And just the way that female bodies completely work in tune with nature to create life, it's just, it's magical. And we don't hear about that as children at
all.
Oh,
no.
We're just told women's bodies don't make sense. We, no one understands us. We're just emotional. The hysteria, you know?
That's what, I mean, hysterectomy comes from the Latin root hyster, right? Which means to be, like, insane. Which is just crazy when you think about the anatomy and how, for the longest time and historically, right, like, men and white men that were in charge were the ones that were the scientists and they were the ones that were doing the anatomy and drawing the anatomy and, like, making assertions about women's bodies and not even asking them.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, this is interesting. I want to hear what more she says. What's her name? Ellie?
Elisa Viti, A-L-Y-S-S-A, V-I-T-T-I. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's a biologist, a hormone expert, and the author of In the Flow. She also wrote The Woman Code, which I think is a very popular book. I haven't read that one yet, but I hear it's very good. So we are told as women that PMS, menstrual cramps, mood swings, painful ovulation, and even hormonal disorders such as premenstrual dysphoric disorder, or known as PMDD, and polycystic ovary syndrome, which is known as PCOS, and endometriosis are just a normal part of being a woman. Everything you've ever been told about the human body and how it works has been based on studies done on men or postmenopausal women. Not ever women in their fertile years. Not ever women in their fertile years. So if you are a postmenopausal woman or a man,
okay,
like you're in luck. All medication, all exercise regimens, everything that includes side effects and physical outcomes to your body has been researched. Mm. If you're literally anyone else, you're completely shit out of luck.
So you're fucked.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So this is why diets and exercise regimens help men lose weight and gain strength so much better. While with women, they don't lose weight. Sometimes they even gain weight doing these exercise regimens, and they feel constant fatigue. So this is why our energy levels fluctuate in a world where we're expected to be on the same schedule every day, aka a male world or a masculine world. And this is why our moods fluctuate more than the men around us. So I want to talk a little bit about the circadian rhythm. And I think if you haven't heard about the circadian rhythm, it's a hormone rhythm that resets every 24 hours. So it means you're productive in the morning, you socialize in the afternoon, you're kind of like loving, cuddly in the evening, and then you sleep, and you repeat every 24 hours. It's kind of robotic. That's how men's bodies work. Mm-hmm. Women, on the other hand, we have two rhythms. We have a circadian rhythm and an infradian rhythm. So we do have the clock that resets every 24 hours, but we also have the infradian rhythm, which resets every 28 days. So
kind of like the moon cycle?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So this is where it gets like a little quote-unquote complicated. Like, this was too complicated for men or doctors to ever research and figure out. And honestly, I'm going to tell you about it in the next 45 minutes. That's how complicated it is. So there's four phases of the infradian rhythm. You have follicular, ovulatory, luteal, and menstrual. So follicular phase is right after your period. Mm-hmm. So it's like the day after your period ends. And this is actually when your cycle starts. So doctors, they always say your cycle starts when your period starts, and that's absolutely wrong. Mm-hmm. Your period is the end of the cycle. It's like, if you look at it, the follicular phase is the new beginning or the birth, and then the menstrual is the death. Mm-hmm. So we get to have a death every month, which can sound dark to some people, but it's actually really revitalizing to be able to have a new start every single month, have a fresh beginning. And I think women will say that. After they've had their periods, they just feel so good. Like, you feel just brand new and fresh and, you know.
I always feel better, well, because I'm just, like, also happy to be done bleeding. Totally. I'm all, thank baby Jesus, I feel great.
It's over.
Yeah. And
so, the thing is, if you sync to your rhythms, the way that she talks about in this book, you're not going to hate your period anymore. You're going to, like, love your period.
Oh. It's,
we're not supposed to suffer during our period. We're told that, like, having cramps is normal. Being moody is normal, and it's not. If our hormones are balanced, we won't experience any of those symptoms.
I don't know about you, Megs, but I have had, the more and more and more I work on my own, just taking care of myself, and the more, like, I tend to my mental health, and I get the rest, and the food, and the nourishment, and all the things that I'm, you know, I think required to stay stable, the easier my cycles are.
Yeah.
Like, there'll be some where I was like, it'll just come, and I'll be like, oh, I didn't even know it was going to come. And like, I have a tracker, but like, it's, I appreciate those months.
And that's the thing, is women, we're very good at taking care of our bodies. I want to speak for everyone, but I feel like women, if we're told, like, you know, to make your life the most efficient and enjoyable and easiest, you just have to take these steps. Women will do it. You know, we're very much about being like, oh, okay, that's what I need to do, I'll do it. We've just never been given the tools before. We've been given tools that work for men's bodies,
And then they don't work for us, and we wonder why we're so emotional and moody and in pain all the time. Hmm. So the first phase, follicular. So this is when you're going to want to exercise-wise do cardio. You're going to want to start new things in your life, like start new projects. You eat sprouted and fermented foods, and all of these things will help to balance your hormones. Okay. And then the ovulatory phase, you focus on high-intensity workouts. So, like, like interval training, like super intense workouts.
Ooh,
like,
that's my hot yoga. Mm-hmm,
going to CrossFit, you know?
Yeah, I'm just
going to get it out. Going to HIIT class, going to cycle class, yeah.
Yeah,
this boxing. This is also when you want to communicate and socialize and eat raw fruits and vegetables. Mm. And this will balance
your hormones. It's like digestive fire, kind of.
Exactly.
Like,
and
it's like for the menstrual cycle. Like, wow,
it very much transfers to Ayurveda, and I've noticed a lot of that. Cool. Like, this is like Ayurvedic the pitta medicine. Phase. Yeah. Mm. Okay, then the luteal phase. This is the phase in between your ovulation and when you get your period. And this is where PMS falls into, if you are someone that suffers from PMS or you know someone who suffers from PMS. So during this phase, you want to get things down on your to-do list, but you're being less active. You're doing strength training, like lifting weights or doing yoga, but you're not running or doing cardio or doing anything really high intensity.
Okay.
And you're eating more root vegetables, grains, and greens. Then for your menstrual cycle, when you get your period, this is when we just rest. So we're not really doing any kind of movement. If you do crave movement, then do just some yoga. And this is the time when we tap into our intuition. So we're very intuitive during this time.
This is right before we're still in the what phase?
We're in the menstrual phase. Put your phone away.
No, you guys, I'm not on my phone while Megan's fucking talking to me. I'm looking at my goddamn cycle.
I'm like, is Holly Facebooking right now?
Sorry, I'm all taking selfies and posting to my Instagram story.
So, the menstrual phase. You're in the luteal phase?
Yeah.
That's the one right. So, she has an app. You should get her app. It's awesome.
Tell me it.
So, app is called... Are you going to yell at me again? I'm going to slap your hand with a ruler.
Put your phone away.
Her app is called MyFlow. MyFlo. And
I'm looking it up.
It's so great, you guys. I'll just take a brief detour and tell you. So... it's going to tell you when you're in the follicular phase, it's going to be a different shade, a different color.
Is it a tracker? Did you buy it?
Yeah, it's a tracker. It might have cost a couple dollars, but just one time.
All right, fine. I'll make the investment because I love you.
Invest in your uterus.
You know what? Holly. I love me. I did it.
Your vulva is worth it.
It really is.
You can't put a price tag on it.
It's fucking priceless.
And so it'll tell you, like, depending on what phase you're in, it'll be like, you're in the follicular phase, and it'll say, focus on sprouted and fermented foods, cardio,
oh my God,
and
starting I need new that thing, reminder.
And starting new things in all areas of your life. Yeah, and it's a really good reminder, because I'm going to give you a lot of information right now. It's actually a lot to keep track of. But this thing just pop up and tell you, you're in your luteal phase. Click here to see how to sync with this cycle.
Oh my gosh.
It's amazing.
Okay, I think it's
she does
the
all
dollar.
The work for you, literally.
Okay.
So highly recommend if you guys want to get that. It's called MyFlo, MyFlo. And then it also tracks your period, so you know when your period's coming. It also tracks your ovulation. So you know when you're ovulating, women are only fertile for 6 days of the month. So if you're wanting to get off of hormonal birth control, which can be very, very bad for the body and the hormonal system, then you can know when you can safely have sex and not get pregnant. So I lost my spot. Oh, yeah. Okay, so we were in the menstrual phase. So, yeah, so you're going to rest, do yoga, but really focus on restorative yoga, yoga nidra, yin yoga. If you need to do movement, just do very gentle vinyasa yoga, very slow movements.
Right.
Not high intensity, not more than 30 minutes. And you're going to – this is when we get into a very much of an evaluating phase. So when we're in the menstrual phase, it's the death. And so before we have a new start, a new beginning into the next month, We want to know what not to bring with us into the next month. Mm. So you're going to be really hyper aware of everything that bothers you during this time. You know, this is why they people say, you know, like when you're on your period, you're just, you're a crazy monster. Mm-hmm. And it's because if someone in your life is not treating you the way that you want them to, they're not getting the respect you need, maybe something that your partner does irritates you, this is the time when literally your pussy's going to be like, change this. Or take it out of my life, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's why you become so hypersensitive to everything.
Yeah.
Because you're like, your body's just bringing to your awareness what it is that you would like to change. And that way, moving into the new cycle, you can know you're having a new beginning. And that thing won't be bothering you anymore. It's also when you're really high in your intuition. So it's a really good time to make decisions. It's a really good time to just really listen to your body, and she'll tell you what exactly it needs. And eat a lot of protein and fat. Okay. So another thing I wanted to say about the exercise part is it's important to listen to it. So if you're someone who has a lot of trouble losing weight, if you're someone who tends to like gain weight and then can't lose it, if you're someone who experiences like a lot of fatigue, then listen to this, where you do really a lot of cardio in the follicular phase, the first phase. You do all your high intensity workouts in the ovulatory phase when you're ovulating. And then the second 2 weeks of the month, you're kind of taking off. And this is what's hard for people, is to be like,
to follow that flow.
Yeah, because in every exercise regimen we've ever been given, we've been told that it's doing it regularly.
It's like all the time, do it all the time, do it all the time.
Push through, even on days when your body doesn't want to, push through. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, this is what works for men's bodies, because they've studied it and shown this is what works for people on a circadian rhythm.
Sure.
But people who are on an infradian rhythm, this backfires completely. So in the second two phases, your luteal, which is right before the period, and your menstrual phase, you really need to slow down. Like if you're going to exercise, do yoga, like lift weights. Mm. Don't run. Don't do cardio. Don't do anything of high intensity. Because what happens in these phases, when your body needs rest so badly, if you're pushing it to work out really hard, then it's going to panic. It's going to go into fight or flight, and it's going to start storing fat. It's going to be like, oh my God, we're not safe. We're not resting like we're supposed to right now. So we need to store a bunch of fat, and our cortisol levels are going to get really, really high, and we're going to get really stressed. That's going to create PMS. So
damn, and then you're just angry at everything.
You hate everything.
I love that. I know there's days where either of us text each other, and it's like, I hate everybody. I hate everything about everything today.
Like, can I call you Invent? Otherwise, I might go on a murderous rampage.
Yep.
So the menstrual phase, it's even more important to just let yourself rest. And the amazing thing is, if you can honor these cycles of your body, then you will actually have lower levels of cortisol in your system, and you will lose weight.
That is so – I actually want to just interject and say I believe that to be really true, because you'd think – like I've had so many instances because of my own slowing down over the years, but just because I've like taken up more yoga nidra meditation and obviously became really passionate about that, and 2020 has just been in – you know, retrograde the entire year and the last 11 and a half months, you know. And I noticed that actually the more rest I do get, the, you know, the more I can maintain my weight and still, you know, I eat healthy, but I can make, you know, exceptions, and like I can take care of myself and rest, and I actually have a lot of energy, and I feel pretty productive, and, you know, feel stable, and like my mental health feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's multi-tiered, right?
Yeah, totally.
Multifaceted too.
It is. And the thing is, when you are in go-go-go mode all the time, we are stuck in our sympathetic nervous system, which is fight or flight. Mm-hmm. And so when we're moving into the second two phases of our cycle, we're moving into the parasympathetic nervous system more. And if you're pushing yourself through and making yourself work crazy hours and work out like crazy and not letting yourself rest, you're not going to let yourself move into parasympathetic nervous system, and you're just going to be stressed out, and that's when all the hormonal imbalances start.
Yeah, I could see that for sure.
I mean,
I think I've suffered from that.
Oh, we all have, I'm sure, as women, suffered from this in some form or another, because we are never given permission to rest or to stop.
Right.
You know? So, I want to just share a little bit more in depth some of the foods to eat during each phase. And this I just have like in a list in my phone, and then when I'm in that phase, I just buy those things for the week and then just awesome. Eat that, you know.
Oh, that's pretty
So I'm going to
cool.
kind of list. Okay. So sorry if it's kind of boring. I'm just going to list this stuff real quick, and then if you want to skip over it, and I can put it in the notes. I totally understand if you don't want to hear it, but
that's so funny.
If you want to just write this stuff down, you can. So the follicular phase is steamed or sautéed foods. And it's artichoke, broccoli, carrot, green peas, parsley, zucchini, string beans. And then also eating flax seeds and pumpkin seeds during this phase will help balance your hormones. Mm-hmm. And then as far as exercise, think of elliptical, jumping jacks, hiking. Ovulatory phase, when you're ovulating, is raw veggies, fruits, and smoothies. And it's steaming food. So steamed asparagus, Brussels sprouts, charred scallions, spinach. And then this phase, also eating flax seeds and pumpkin seeds is really good to balance the hormones. And for workout, think intensity, like group classes, boot camp, and interval sprints. Okay, into luteal phase, the phase right before your period. This is a warm roasting or baking phase. So roasted cauliflower, collard greens, onion, parsnip, sweet potatoes, squash. And you're going to switch to in these second 2 weeks to sesame seeds and sunflower seeds. So if you're...
Yes, like, I have sunflower
there
seeds.
There you go. If you're putting them in a smoothie or something, this is really going to help balance your hormones in this phase.
Wait, what's it called? Luteal?
Luteal phase, yes.
Sweet.
Also, the menstrual phase. This is for warm, hearty foods. So think soups and stews, beet, kale, kelp, and mushrooms. And then it's still for this phase, sesame seeds and sunflower seeds will help. And, I'm sorry. I forgot to mention for luteal, the exercise would just be gentle yoga or Pilates or barre. And then menstrual phase, the exercise would be nap. Literally.
Yeah.
Like for during the time you would exercise, nap. It's actually going to help
that.
You have energy and mm-hmm. keep your weight down during this phase. You will start to store fat if you work out during this phase. Nap, yin, yoga nidra, or restorative yoga. Don't do any movement for more than 30 minutes. So if you feel like you do need to get some movement in, obviously go for a walk, go for a jog, but 30 minutes only.
Hmm.
That's when before your body goes into like freak out mode.
So I
was diagnosed with PMDD.
Mm-hmm.
Which is awful.
What does it stand for again?
It is premenstrual dysphoric disorder. And it's like PMS on crack.
They're like, hey, you're crazy.
Pretty much. I literally was falsely diagnosed as bipolar.
Right.
Because I had this. Mm-hmm. And it's, you, everything is the end of the world. Like, once a month
That's
I would
the,
literally.
I hate everybody day.
Yeah. Literally for. It was sometimes 2 weeks. It was like
Shit.
1 to 2 weeks. I was a completely different person. I was so depressed. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I didn't want to leave the house. Mm-hmm. Some days I didn't want to get off the couch.
Right.
Every month I would be convinced that I needed to leave my partner. I would even
be
convinced I had to.
I've been your friend for how many years now? Yeah. I know you.
I had to be convinced I had to quit my job. And a couple times I got suicidal.
Yeah.
And it was that bad every month that when I read this book, I was just so blown away that once I started doing it, it was just almost overnight that I felt better.
You started to feel better.
And so I want to give a couple tips. If you are someone who suffers from PMDD or even just PMS symptoms, which I think a majority of women who have their period does.
Mm-hmm.
So when you are in your PMS week or the luteal phase, you want to eat more sweet potatoes, brown rice, chickpeas, and apples.
Mm.
And you also want to make sure that you're processing and eliminating
estrogen, because the reason that we do get really bad PMS is because we're not processing estrogen in our bodies. We're not eliminating estrogen. So we have way too high levels of estrogen in the body. Or occasionally it's progesterone, whatever is going on in your body. So I gotta find the note real quick, but...
Is it weird? I like the buzzing in my ears. Do you hear it? It's the, like the you little like bit the of awkward feedback.
Silence?
Actually, I don't feel awkward at all. Again. What kind of note are you looking for? What are you looking for, Megan?
I think it's in here. Oh, yeah, here it is. So if you do have bad PMS, you're not processing estrogen. So to help flush and process estrogen, you want to take a lot of flax seeds. You want to eat unprocessed organic soy like tempeh or miso, kidney beans, mung beans, pears, and apples. And then it's really important to also avoid processed soy, processed red meat, white starchy foods like breads and noodles, alcohol, and caffeine. So... basically everything.
Like what I'm in right now. I have to...
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's hard. It's, but, I mean, during this phase, I just really make sure I'm eating really fresh and clean. I'm not eating processed foods. And I'm not eating any white bread or any noodles. You know, I eat all whole grain or whole wheat stuff. I try to drink a lot less caffeine. I try to not drink alcohol or even just a teeny tiny bit. And it really does make a huge difference. Also, during PMS week, if you're starting to feel PMS symptoms, if you eat seafood, avocado, or dark chocolate, it will ease your symptoms, like, basically immediately.
No wonder I've been eating so much dark chocolate.
That's the thing, right? And whenever you have your period, you crave dark chocolate, and you just need to listen to that. Also, avocado, you're probably not getting enough fat.
Yeah.
And you're, during your period, you need to eat a lot of healthy fat.
I think I do. Actually, well, and I like eating a lot of, like, mono-fat foods, like nuts and avocados and... seeds and yeah for sure.
So I just want you to know that you make sense, your body makes sense. Women, we make sense, right? We're not these like complicated mysteries. It's very simple,
right?
And if you do want more information, I barely skimmed the surface. Like, this woman changed my life. So get the book In the Flow by Elisa Vitti. And oh yeah, one more thing, if you have really bad menstrual cramps, eat high omega-3s like salmon, avocado. And then...
Avocado.
And then treat your pregnancy and the 12 weeks after your pregnancy as an extended menstrual cycle. So you're going to eat 400 to 500 extra calories a day and only do walking or yoga, and you will gain weight if you exercise too hard. And this is real. This means, like,
I think that is so real. Mm-hmm. I did nothing but yoga. Well, until the very end, and it was almost like a year when I first had TN. But I swear to you, I got more in shape than I'd been in my entire life. Mm-hmm. Mind you, I was only 23 when I had him, so I was pretty young. Right. But that's how I found yoga. And so I just did yoga for the first, I would say, 4 or 5 months when he was first born. And that's the only activity I did. So I actually attribute a lot of just the steady, it was a steady movement, but not enough to overdo it. And that's, I hope that more and more and more, I mean, here in Colorado, they passed that initiative to, for everybody to get, including men, like all people to get paternity and maternity leave. So paid family leave, I believe, is what was passed. And I just think that that's so great. Now people can actually really rest and follow some of this, I hope, you know.
I'm so grateful that Matt's going to be able to get paid time off when I have the baby. And honestly, this has been changing my life. Like, because my first pregnancy, I was so convinced that I had to keep pushing myself to work out every day and do crazy vinyasa every day. And I worked 6 days a week. And... like, after I read this book, it just gave me permission to be like, you're in a restful phase for the next year of your life.
Yeah, and like, I had literally to slow the fuck down.
Yeah, and Megan, I had to accept that. It had to be like, okay, I'm going to allow myself to take naps all the time, and I'm only going to work part-time because I have that option right now, and Mm-hmm. I'm going to do light exercise. I'm going to do yoga, but I am not going to worry about my weight. I'm not going to worry about my body. I'm going to eat very healthy, obviously, to make sure I'm not like gaining too much weight or anything. And then also right after pregnancy, I'm not going to push myself to lose the weight right away, because you're supposed to give yourself like the 3 months after you have a baby, treat them as a really long menstrual cycle.
Yeah. So imagine you're just resting how, and eating. Well, and imagine how chill your baby is going to be.
Yeah, exactly.
As if you're chilling and you're allowing that space, and you, even if you're trying to conceive, you know, really thinking about what and how your, not only your body, your physical landscape, but your mental landscape of the mind. It's really important, especially if you're trying to conceive, have a baby, be a parent, just be a good human, you know. Life can be challenging. So I think that this is really great info.
And we're just, once again, you know, women trying to be forced into a masculine world, which just doesn't fucking fit. It's like patriarchy. Putting a triangle into a circle. It does not work. So the good news is we've definitely started to learn more about the female body and the hormones and how it works, thanks to Elisa Vitti. Hopefully next, for trans people, we'll start to learn, you know, more about how your hormone levels and phases work. And hopefully that's going to be the next thing that we take time to study and figure out.
Yeah, sure. Well, and I think that that's the thing with, like, gender and fluidity and wanting to be inclusive, right? And our responsibility of offering inclusivity, not offering, but you know what I'm saying, like having that dedication to, for anybody to be able to utilize any kind of information that comes through. And as more and more and more, like you said,
I'm wrapping a candy right now.
Yes!
I can hear it.
I'm trying to be serious.
I'm listening. I'm very
but now I'm serious. Eating a book. What is this? Peppermint?
I brought over
Hershey's.
Peppermint Hershey's Kisses. Talking about being healthy.
I've had like 8 of them. I just keep throwing away the wrappers so I don't feel bad.
So you can't keep track of how much you've eaten. No, it's true. And, you know, it's just, it's about time that we start accepting that there are many, many, many more types of people in the world than cisgendered men. And that we start scientifically looking
at that. And gender is not binary, y'all.
No.
Gender is not binary. It's not either, you know, men or women. Like, there is a whole spectrum of beautiful, gender orientation, sexual identity, and how we feel in our bodies. And we need to be really honoring that. And so it'll be really wonderful to see how that does, how that can be applied for a trans woman or for a trans man who maybe is at the beginning of their transition. And maybe perhaps they are still having a menstrual cycle. You know, there are lots of things to consider, and so that's why it's so good to like encapsulate and hope to help create a container where all of it exists.
Yeah So that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
I'm gonna eat another candy. Did you hear me unwrap that one?
I don't know. I don't think I did.
It's because I was doing it, talking louder.
Yeah. She like leans in to cover the sound like, of her candy.
Hold on, guys. Okay, well, we will hopefully put out another episode sooner than 4 months, and I think we will. And it'll be awesome because I will be the one presenting. Yeah, and I have no idea what we're going to be talking about, but I'm sure something will come up.
Yeah, and we'll try to stay on top of this, you guys. All right, thanks if you're still there.
Yeah, we thoroughly enjoyed this.
Thanks for sticking around.
Love you.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.